Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Liza.
And together we are the Empowered Caregivers.
Today's show is sponsored by Group Health Cooperative of South Central Wisconsin, a nonprofit, member-owned health plan providing high-quality health care and health insurance services to over 85,000 members living in South Central Wisconsin.
Yep, we really appreciate their support. Today we're going to be talking about self-compassion and our plans for the 2023 schedule.
Yes, and I really wanted to talk about self-compassion today for a couple of reasons. First of all, we just came out of the holiday season, right? And that is a stressful time for everyone.
It is.
Enough said there. And then also, you know, it's also can be a sad time for people, you know?
Well, that's it. I mean, I think I heard somebody talking about how it's just very big, whatever right. It is. It's very very big in terms of sadness, very big in terms of happiness, very big in terms of loneliness, that there's just a lot of very to it.
Yep, and very stressful at times as well. And I think it lends itself well to a time to show yourself some self-compassion. Mm-hmm. And the other reason is, you know, what do we all do January 1st, right? Mm-hmm. We make this long list of New Year's resolutions. I think mine have been the same for about 15 years. Start January 1st and January 1st-ish, end of the day. And then we try again next year, right?
Right.
And you need this self-compassion if you're gonna make it happen.
Exactly. Can I just tell a quick little story about my New Year's resolutions?
Yes.
I did things a little bit different this year, inspired by Starbucks, of course, my favorite. I was there with my nieces and my sister. I guess it was probably on January 2nd or 3rd. And I haven't done New Year's resolutions in a couple of years. And they had up a big poster that said, "What's your New Year's resolution?" And people had put on Post-its, right? And so my six-year-old niece said, "I want a New Year's resolution. I want to Post-it." And I'm like, okay, what I'm going to put up that Aunt Chrissy's going to dance more. And she's like, yeah. She's like, I'm going to put up, I'm going to be nice to my cousins and I'm going to dance as much as I can. I'm like, okay, copycat. That sounds good. And then she's like, can I have another color? I'm like, sure, you can have multiple, you know, Post-its and you can have multiple New Year's resolutions. And she said, I am going to go to an amusement park and eat lots of cotton candy. And I'm like, that's awesome. I'm going to be bringing you. I like these New Year's resolutions. And then I looked at the sullen 13-year-old niece and I said, what's your New Year's resolution going to be? And she said, I'm not doing this. And I'm like, yes, you are. I'm not doing this. And I said, well, then you know what? I'm going to write one for you. And she's like, no, you're not. I'm like, yes, I am. Yours is to worship the ground that Aunt Chrissy walks on every second of every day.
Every day. Yes.
And she's like, I didn't write that.
Of course.
And I'm like, well, I'm posting it. So I slapped it up there.
There you go.
But yes, I was thinking, you know, I was trying to be silly with the girls, but I was also really thinking, I've got to be nicer to myself, and we'll get into why. It's been a hell of a year, and 2022 was, and I'm like, I've got to really give myself something that I'm going to enjoy and something I'm going to succeed at. And that's why dancing more is what popped into my head, because I love to dance.
Wonderful.
And I keep thinking I need a dance party or I need a dance partner. And I'm like, nope, actually, I can dance on the treadmill. I can dance in my bathroom. I can dance all night long.
You bet.
So that's what I'm pledging to do.
Well, that's good. And I think we'll talk a little bit more about mine down the road, because I shared some of it today that I am not making a resolution. Right. I am making a shift in mindset, kind of based off of a book, Atomic Habits, mm-hmm. which I started, which is great. That shows why resolutions and setting goals sometimes just set yourself up for failure. Yeah. So anyways.
Well, it's like I said, it's been an extremely challenging year for me. And what I mean by that, I'm going to be vulnerable here, is that we're going to get a divorce. And so it's something that's
not us.
No, exactly. Not Liza and I, not the Empowered Caregivers, but my husband and I of 20 plus years. And it's something that I think in the end will hopefully bring everybody a little bit more peace. I think I would be lying if I didn't say that being caregivers has been part of what's really challenged our relationship, but it's not just because of that. But I think we're very conscious of the statistics mm-hmm. that 50% of marriages end up in divorce. And then out of those marriages that don't get divorced, that if you have a special needs kid, you've got even another 50% chance. I think some therapist
that
told
would
us
be 100%. But I think
yeah, you're right. 50 and 50. No, wouldn't that be 75?
The statistics for those with special needs children, I believe, are 75% to 85% yeah. divorce rate.
Yeah. Okay. So I didn't teach math, but 50 and 50, and then you 100. Got 50. Right. But then I said of the 50 who don't get divorced.
Okay. Okay. 50,
all right. You're right. Let's not talk about me.
Okay.
But anyway, I would do anything now to talk about anything besides divorce. But I right. do. I like I said, I do want to use this opportunity to really connect with our community and be vulnerable, because I know there's other people who are going through this situation, whether they're dealing with the stress of special needs children, whether they're dealing with the stress of aging parents or the stress of chronic illnesses, you know, all of these things that none of us really expected and we don't get a lot of guidebooks for, you know, right. And so it's challenging to know how to navigate it and not let it impact the other relationships you're a part of. And so for me, I recognized early on, and a lot of it was through the work you and I have done, reading Kristen Neff's stuff and then doing some presentations about it, that I needed to be self-compassionate. I needed to give myself not just like space, but also compassion.
Yeah. And, you know, I have to say, I love that you have such a strong ability to give yourself self-compassion. I think it's truly an area where I have personally grown through seeing you mm-hmm. and you making that important in your life. And so it's one of the many of my great assets of my friendship with you. And you should be proud of yourself that you have the ability to do that. Because I don't think many people do. It's hard. We're not taught to be self-compassionate with ourselves.
No, not at all. So thanks.
Yes. And we, like you had mentioned, we both did a deep dive on this a few years ago. We ran a parent group for parents that had special needs children, and we wanted to focus on self-compassion. And so we did a lot of research on the self-compassion guru, who is Kristen Neff. I encourage everyone to check out her books, and she has tons of stuff on YouTube. And she says, unlike self-criticism, which asks if you are good enough, self-compassion asks what's good for you.
Yeah, and I think why I'm able to embrace the self-compassion stuff is because I did a lot of self-criticism for years, and it really didn't do much good for me. It actually just ended up making me feel crappier about myself and continue some really bad eating habits and some just really self-destructive behaviors that didn't make me feel very good. And so with therapy, with good reading, with self-help stuff, I recognized that I needed to look more at what is good for me. And I think that's the difference, right? So self-criticism is all about I'm not good enough or I won't ever be good enough. But instead, when you're thinking from a self-compassionate lens, it's more about what's good for you. And so I started to recognize that negative self-talk was not good for me, and I needed to shift it, as well as doing a few other things.
Mm-hmm. And I think people are at a very early age in a lot of households. I guess I can't speak for all, but definitely mine. It's not modeled. And it's like, why didn't you do this? You should have done that. You could have done that. What a shoulda, coulda. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then all families have their own set of drama where you, as a child, go inward and, you know, did I do that? If I would have been nicer, you know, all right. of these different things. So it's, I think for a lot of people, it's something that needs to be learned. It's
yeah.
not a natural concept.
No, definitely not. And so let's explain what it is, right? So self-compassion, according to Kristen Neff, is something that we want our listeners to understand. So you understand exactly what we're talking about. And we want to talk about this tonight because we would like people to try and start using it as a way to navigate their journey as caregivers.
And there's three main elements to self-compassion. And the first one is self-kindness, you know, and that's just really comes down to being warm and understanding with ourselves when we suffer, like we would with a friend.
Right. And I think the key piece is when we're suffering, right? And so what we used in our presentation and what struck me when I was reading Kristen's book was that she talked about being on a plane and her kid has autism. Right?
Her kid has autism.
Yeah, her kid has autism, and they were on a plane, and you know he was having a meltdown and screaming. And we all know that when you're on those planes and those kids are screaming, if it's not yours, you are glaring at both the kid and the parents. Like, what are you going to do to get that kid to shut up? Right? Give the kid the phone. Give the kid animal crackers. Give the kid a passy. Whatever you're going to do to make that kid be quiet. Right? And we also know if you're a parent and you've been in the role of having the crying kid next to you, it's the times where the passy doesn't work, the goldfish crackers don't work, right?
Throw it right, throw it right back at you.
Exactly. And so she talked about how she recognized that she was so embarrassed, she was so frustrated, she was so angry at her son, and that that wasn't going to get her anywhere. And so what she needed to do, though, was to be kind to herself first before even being kind to her son. And it reads like, what? Like, no, you got to be nice to the kid. You got to coddle the kid so the kid will stop crying. But I think then when she went further into her explanation around how self-compassion allows you to sort of fill up your tank, so you then can appropriately take care of the person that you're dealing with, it really resonated for me. I'm like, exactly. So if I'm not regulated, I know is kind of the big word that everyone's using right now, right? If you're dysregulated, if you're regulated, but in this capacity, I think it's more like if I'm not kind to myself, if I'm not recognizing this sucks, it is really hard to be on this plane right now, then it's really going to be challenging for me to give that compassion and that kindness to the child.
Exactly. And that's kind of where I was headed. And we can talk about that some more after the commercial break, is when you do allow yourself to have that self-compassion, it's so much easier to give it to others. We look forward to talking more about Kristen Neff's work and self-compassion after this short break.
I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
The Empowered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. And today we've been talking about Kristen Neff's work on self-compassion. And we started to kind of go in a little bit about what self-compassion is. And she kind of narrows it down to three main points, with the first one being self-kindness, which is being warm and understanding to ourselves when we suffer. And the second one is common humanity. You want to take that one?
Sure. Common humanity, in my mind, is recognizing that pain and suffering is part of the human experience, right? That there is no way we are going to be on this planet and somehow not suffer. And so we have to recognize that when we are doing our caregiving work, there's going to be suffering involved. And that suffering is going to come from the work we're doing with our care recipient. So sometimes they're going to suffer, sometimes we're going to suffer, and sometimes we're going to suffer together.
Yeah. And, you know, I was kind of thinking about that actually on the way over here, knowing that we were going to be talking about this. I think a lot of people go into every day like with a clean slate, right? Like, today is going to be a good day, clean slate. And then this happens, and then that happens, and that makes it, you know, a quote unquote bad day. Mm-hmm. But I think we really would be beneficial for us to shift our mindset, waking up, today is going to be a hard day. What am I going to do to make it a good day? You know, how can I keep my sanity? How can I, you know what I mean?
Right. And I guess, I think what you're trying to do is connect it back to this whole idea that everybody's going to have parts of their day where it's going to stink.
Right.
Because we all have to suffer and have pain, because that's what part of being human is.
Right. And it's the life is hard.
Mm-hmm.
I think people think life should be easy.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, you know, anything that comes, what's the saying? Anything that comes easy isn't worth having. So I think you have to have these hard experiences to learn and grow. But there's no way that you can go through life without having to manage relationships and careers and finances and not have it be difficult.
Right.
So when it is difficult, you know, you can lend yourself that self-compassion. Hey, this is hard. This is hard for me. This is hard for everyone. You know, how can I get through this? What do I need?
Yeah. And I'm nodding my head vigorously and looking at you like, wow, because I'm recognizing that it's so easy to hear it. But when I'm in it, it feels very alone. It doesn't feel like this is part of the human experience, right? It feels like I'm struggling and I don't know how to get out of this and I don't understand why and I shouldn't have, you know, right? So I guess I shouldn't say everybody is, but I'm very trapped in my like inner moments so that I can't recognize it when I'm in it. But I'm really good at talking about it on a radio show or with friends, right, or really good at giving people perspective when it's their life.
Well, when you're in it, when you're saying, I forgot what you just said, I should be able to handle this. Mm-hmm. Why is this happening to me? You're judging yourself, you know, you're giving yourself that self-criticism, which is complete opposite of the self-compassion. And I think for me, this self-compassion has been a big part of my personal journey, because I felt like I was up there with the worst of the worst. Well, there we go. There's self-judgment right there. Yeah. But I've come a long way, right? Because I was always hard on myself, on myself. And at some point, I just had to say, this isn't helping me. I am hurting. Why am I being so mean to myself? Mm-hmm. Why? I would never treat any other person that way.
Right. Actually, remember that. You came back from a walk. It was maybe 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, where you had said, I just had this huge epiphany and I realized that I talk to myself like garbage. And if I let you know, meaning Kristen, let Liza, if you let Kristen know how Liza talks to Liza, that I would just freak out. And I was like, really? You're that mean to yourself? And you said yes. And I was like, well, knock it off. You're my friend. And I don't want you to be so mean to my friend. So I remember you having that realization.
Yeah, it was. And you know, when I start to go down that path, you know, you got first step one is build the awareness.
Right.
So be conscientious of your thoughts and how you're talking to yourself and put on the brakes and just say, I wouldn't say this to anybody. And then I guess the biggest thing for me is I think I'm with me all the time. There's no leaving me. You know what I mean?
Isn't that the truth?
So we might as well be friends,
mm-hmm,
you know, mm-hmm, Liza and Liza's brain or
right, exactly.
Whatever.
So then you got to be kind to yourself.
And you know, magically it helps you become more compassionate to others.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and then I think the other thing that you hit on leads into the third piece of self-compassion, according to Kristen Neff, which is this mindfulness stuff. And I know mindfulness has become kind of a buzzword again, and sort of I feel like we're almost saturated with mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first see it, I think, oh yeah, here we go again, even though I like mindfulness. But I like that what she's trying to say is that non-judgmental and receptive mind state. So just what you were talking about, you got to it naturally before we even started talking about mindfulness, is that you pointed out that in being self-compassionate, it is being aware, which is really all that mindfulness is, right? Aware of how much you're judging yourself. Mm-hmm. And so if we want to be self-compassionate, we've got to take that non-judgmental receptive piece of looking at the person on the airplane. And now after reading Kristen Neff's story, but more importantly, after having having been in that situation, I look at those parents on the plane with the crying kid and I think, oh, that's so tough. Like, I'm not going to take your kid for you, yeah. but I think, wow, I really feel for you because I understand how challenging that situation is. You have no control. And so when we can be receptive like that and recognize that that's what we need to do for ourselves, right? So that when we're stuck in one of those situations and we need to be compassionate, we have to have that open, receptive mind state of saying, like, on the outside, someone would be looking at this and say, whoa, don't be beating her up, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and we will be talking more about self-compassion after this short break.
Because I have a funny story to tell you Uh-oh. About this past weekend and how I had to use a lot of self-compassion.
Listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and today we've been talking about the topic of self-compassion. And I know you have a story. I almost peed my pants when you told me before that you wanted to share about self-compassion over the weekend. So let her rip.
Well, okay. We attended a benefit concert, we being Nicole and I, at the Sylvie. Never been to the Sylvie, so I was all excited. It's a benefit concert titled Joey's Song. Shout out to all of the people behind organizing this. I don't know them yet. I'm hoping to network with them soon. Joey's passed away from epilepsy, which we know Nicole has, and Joey's dad is the one that put this benefit concert together. Okay. So we are experiencing like four or five different acts of all kinds of really good musicians, mostly with connections to Madison. Butch Vig was there, members of Soul Asylum, members of Portugal and the Man. They had a silent auction going on with signed guitars from Eddie Vedder, from Brad Paisley. I know. I was like, wow, this is actually a pretty big thing.
Yeah.
And Nicole was so excited. Nicole's 21, right? So excited to finally be out and about and at a concert. She's never been to an indoor concert. She's only seen stuff live, like outside. And so when we walked in, she was just so happy, like a kid in a candy store, right? Except no interest in mom. And so she pushed me backwards and was like, you need to stand over there. I'm like, all right, fine. And then eventually we were tired on the floor. So we went upstairs. We ended up getting some seats from people, which was very nice because they could tell that Nicole was getting tired and then they wanted to go dance. So they said, mom, you sit here too. So we're sitting down. And like I said, she has no interest in me. So anytime I'm trying to talk to her, no, mom, no, mom. And I'm like, all right, fine. In between the acts, they have different things going on. One of them was an auction of a guitar from that night that was signed by every person who had been playing on stage,
awesome.
Right? Everybody who served a beer, everybody who was in security. It was really cool. And the MC was awesome. So he's like, you know, just jazzing up the crowd and stuff. But I'm in my own little world because I'm not planning on spending any more money. And I am with the person that I'm with has no interest in talking to me. So I'm on my phone, which is not how I usually like to live my life, but I'm there on my phone. And all of a sudden I hear him go, $4,000 to the girl in the pink coat up there. And Nicole's like, hi, and waving. And I'm like, what? And then I realize, oh, my gosh, Nicole has just made a $4,000 bid on this guitar in this silent auction. And the majority of the room is looking at us and smiling, and she's got this huge grin, and I've got panic on my face.
Oh my
and I'm like,
God.
No, no, no. And I'm like, pull it. And then I'm saying, I'm a teacher. I don't have $4,000, but I'm not even saying it very loud.
Yeah, right.
And so the guy's like, all right, is there anybody else who wants this? And is there anybody else who's got a bid? And he's kind of stretching it out. And I'm thinking, somebody has to say something.
Oh,
somebody has
God.
To say something. And finally, a man down on the main floor goes, I'll take it for $5,000. And so I'm like, thank goodness. And I look at Nicole and I'm like, put your hand down. No. And I'm really panicking because she thinks, she doesn't really understand what's happening. So she thinks that she's getting all this attention because everyone's smiling and looking at her because she's waving. So she keeps trying to wave her hand.
No.
And the next item is some kind of nasty, well, I shouldn't probably say that, but it was a tackle box. And I'm like, we are definitely not going into thousands of dollars over the tackle box. And I'm sitting there just panicking, right? And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And then I was just like, all right, take a deep breath. There's nothing you can do. This mm-hmm. is going to play out however this plays out. You cannot force her to keep her hand down. You can keep begging her. You can make a big scene, but that's going to be really ugly for her and anybody around us. And it's going to look icky. And so I was just like, Kristen, take a deep breath and recognize that this is going to work itself out. Whether you end up having to find $4,000 from a lot of friends and neighbors, whether somebody else makes the bid, or what ended up happening is these very, very nice couples behind us kind of took Nicole in, and they were like, Mom, we got this. We saw how stressful that was. So they started dancing with Nicole. They started engaging with Nicole. And then they actually had me get up and move away because they were like, we want to be hanging out with your daughter and she doesn't want to be hanging out with you. So that whole self-compassion piece really worked for just recognizing that this was a tough situation that I didn't have a guidebook for again, but I needed to be kind to myself so I could be kind to Nicole.
Right.
And recognize that at 21, she wanted to just have fun with other people besides me.
Mm-hmm.
Because then when I did move away, a friend had come up and saw the whole fiasco with the bid and said, you know, come sit over here with us. And I said, I'm feeling bad that these people are like taking on my daughter. And, you know, and she said, they are grown adults. If they didn't want to be doing this, they're fully capable of moving somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And be kind to you so you can be kind to Nicole.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yes, exactly. And if that didn't happen, I mean, just think how the anger would have escalated. Oh. And yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know me well enough. You know that I would have been walking out of there going, that's it, Nicole. You'll never see a device again for the rest of your life because you've just cost me $4,000 for a guitar I don't know how to play.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Well, I want to make sure that we get in our powerful questions. We do this every week on our show, and it's questions that kind of have you dig a little deeper within yourself. And we're talking about the topic of self-compassion. So my first one for you, Kristen, is how can we encourage others, like our friends, our families, listeners, to incorporate more self-compassion into their lives?
It's a good question. I feel like we've been listening to my voice a lot, so I'm going to try to answer this shortly so I can get you talking a bit more. But I think how I've helped encourage it in you is, number one, how you shared at the beginning of the show, by modeling it.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, naming it, right? Like, well, Liza, the reason why I'm able to be self-compassionate is because I know that it's going to be hard. And if I'm not nice to myself, nobody else is going to be nice to me. And it helps me be nicer to Nicole. So I think, first of all, it's just really giving ourselves permission to do it, modeling it to the people that we love, and naming it when it's going on, and recognizing that if you've got any kind of spiritual component to you, this is exactly what Buddha, the Hindus, Jesus, right? Lots of our religious teachers have been talking about this concept of what the human experience is, and that suffering is universal, and that it's really important to recognize that, but to also be gentle and compassionate. And I think the piece that I want to encourage folks to recognize is not only do we have to be kind to others, we have to be kind to ourselves.
Exactly.
You, Liza, I want to know where you see self-compassion intersecting with your caregiving.
I think for me, when I struggle, I think about the statistics. Like, I am not alone in this caregiving journey. There are millions of people that are dealing mm-hmm. with this as well, and that it is hard. And I think I really go to, I am doing the best that I can. You know, I'm not trying to blow off my son or blow off my family members or be disrespectful or irresponsible. Life happens.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag caregiving happens.
Yep.
And every day I wake up and I try the best that I can. And that's all I can do.
Exactly. Well, and I know that in some of our conversations and in prepping for this show, you said to me that one of your biggest struggles in your self-compassion journey is that you think harsh self-criticism is what drives me to succeed. I will never get anywhere if I don't have that negative self-talk to motivate me.
Yeah.
What is that about? Where does that come from? And
you know, I think it's that kind of drill sergeant mentality. You know what I mean?
No, I didn't have a good drill sergeant. So I don't relate to this at all, which is why I'm really intrigued.
Well, when you join the Army, based off what my husband has told me from his Army experience, first they tear you down.
Mm-hmm.
then they work on building you up.
Sure.
Right? So I think it's that tearing you down mentality that a lot of people think that is motivating, and it's not motivating. And I know we have some stuff in here.
Right.
That would be great to speak to.
Right. That's what I wanted to share, because I think we heard how you've shifted on it. And so I want you to understand, you and the listener, sorry, that this idea that harsh self-criticism actually drives people is a very common misgiving. That people think having self-compassion is going to undermine their motivation to achieve, but self-criticism, however, is not an effective motivator. It tends to undermine self-confidence and lead to a fear of failure. Research, and that's where I know I was going to get you, because you love your stats, research. Right? Research shows that self-compassionate people have high personal standards. They just don't beat themselves up if they fail. This means they are less afraid of failure and are more likely to try again. And I think that part has also resonated with me. And I guess I feel really fortunate that I didn't grow up with a drill sergeant in my household or in my head. And I think as a result, I was able, when exposed to self-compassion, to embrace it more, because I recognized that I don't want to beat myself up if I fail, because otherwise I'm not going to try again. Now, there are areas of my life where I do, but for the most part, and especially in my caregiving, I don't beat myself up. It's usually just only in group sports. Like, I cannot hit a baseball for the life of me. And that's pretty low stakes.
Yeah. Well, and you know, you didn't beat yourself up there. You just said, this one's not for me.
Right.
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 Exactly. And move on. And if I remember correctly, I remember having a conversation about self-compassion and self-pity, you know, where self-pity is poor me, and self-compassion recognizes that life is hard for everyone. And, you know, I know that sometimes you felt like you were stuck in a poor me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Are you talking about me personally?
Yeah.
Yes. So that is a big shift that I've taken around. And it's interesting because a friend of mine from Seattle, who we do the Marco Polo app together, and she's been asking me about, you know, how did you shift out of the self-pity role? And I guess I hadn't really recognized I had, but I did, because what I felt was that it wasn't really getting me anywhere.
Right.
And I kind of, this is where my big ego comes in, I kind of almost get more like a superwoman complex, where I'm like, oh, this isn't going to knock me down. Look right. at me. I can overcome this. Like, I'm not going to be a martyr. Like, I indulge for a few minutes, right? Or
sure.
a few days or a few weeks, whatever the nature of the situation is. And so, yes, with this whole divorce situation, there's been a lot of times where I felt really sorry for myself, sorry for my kids, sorry for Stefan, my husband, that we've ended up in a situation where we need to separate in order to move forward, to keep all of us happy and healthy. And then I recognized that is the compassionate thing, right?
Right. Well, and there's a time and place for self-pity, and then you know, you kind of pick yourself up and move on. And here's another research statistic behind it. It actually shows that being self-compassionate, people are more likely to engage in perspective taking rather than focusing on their own distress. They're also less likely to ruminate on how bad things are, which leads to better mental health, which I think is a big thing for me. How do you get, you know, stop those ruminating thoughts when things are going downhill? And if you're self-compassionate, you give yourself that ability to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. I hadn't thought about it that way either.
Yeah. And well, and another one for me that I struggled with was that self-compassion will make me lazy and self-indulgent. You know, these are kind of the myths that we're reading behind self-compassion, when research shows that self-compassionate people tend to actually engage in healthier behaviors like exercising and eating well. Because when you treat yourself with love and kindness, naturally, you want to do the things that are in your best interest.
Yeah, makes sense. So, Liza, we've got a couple more minutes before we go to break. And you know that we oftentimes like to ask our guests. So I'm going to ask you, what are three things from your deep dive here in self-compassion? What are three things that you wish all caregivers, especially our listeners, knew about self-compassion?
I wish that they knew that it is an ally. It's not a sign of weakness. That you need to give that to yourself to make it through the day, that life is hard for everyone. I don't know if that's one, two, or three.
Right, exactly. I know. You kind of were going off there for a bit.
Just keep on going. And that offering yourself, some of my biggest takeaways from my journey in self-compassion is learning that being self-compassionate to myself really opened the doors for me being self-compassionate to others.
Yeah. And I would say, even though I'm now interrupting you, sorry, but I would say that it helps me then be compassionate to Nicole.
Right.
Right. And right now when we're struggling, which is what's happening a lot in our house because there is so much tension and transition, is I really need that ability to be compassionate with others.
Exactly. And I think the last thing that I wanted to say that Kristen Snafbig's motto is treat yourself like you treat a dear friend. Mm-hmm. And when you notice that you're not, catch it and be self-compassionate.
We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the show.
Listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. Today we have been talking about self-compassion and some of the work that the self-compassion guru Kristen Neff has been doing. If you missed earlier today, you can find us on the Civic Media app at empoweredcaregivercommunity.com or Facebook or all other places where they have podcasts. Catch the whole show.
Yeah, and there are some things happening here at Civic Media that I'm excited to talk about, which is a $1 million ad giveaway. What that means is if you are a small business, you can apply to get $1 million worth of free advertising.
Well, now, not
right
amongst
other people.
Other people. There will be a total of $1 million.
I just wanted to get their attention.
Well, you got mine because I'm like, whoa.
Right. We're not giving away a whole million to everybody.
Right.
But the whole point is if you go to the Civic Media website, right? So civicmedia.us on January 26th, Thursday, we will be talking about this for the next couple weeks and you'll be hearing some other promos on the station as well. And if you go there and fill out a very small, easy application, you might be considered for an opportunity to get some free advertising on the Civic Media
network.
Thank you. That has about 9 different radio stations throughout the state. And we would really appreciate it if you go there that you mention you heard about it from the Empowered Caregiver Show.
That would be great. And good luck to everyone who applies for that. And it's going to start, like you said, on January 26th until it runs out. So it could very well be a one-day done deal. So make sure to get on your computers January 26th if you're a small business owner and fill out that application for some free advertising.
Right. And what you were telling me is it's a great way for people to even consider promoting some of their big events like fundraisers or if you need to get some people hired because we are having such a hard time with labor, right? Mm-hmm. That it doesn't have to be an ad that necessarily is selling a product or service.
Right.
So
to the best of my understanding, they've got all the fine print on the website, but you can be creative on how you can use your free ad time. And then I would also like to add that we would love to continue to give away some of our caregiver gift packages. So if you have someone in your life that is an amazing caregiver, or if you would like to nominate yourself, there is no shame in that. Email us at empoweredcaregivercommunity@gmail.com and tell us why you deserve a caregiver gift package.
Right. And these caregiver gift packages are going to have items that have been donated from local merchants. We've got some stuff from Grape Water here in Middleton, and we've got still some of those caregiver gift packages that are customized from the Negative Space that Allison Brenninger donated.
Yes, lots of great opportunities there. And if you are a small business owner and you would like to contribute something to a gift basket, let us know as well. We would love to continue to put them together and acknowledge and support all of the amazing caregivers by having something fun show up at their front door.
Right. And, you know, that's one of the shows from this past year that we got a lot of positive feedback about was the two where we really honored and celebrated caregivers.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got just a couple moments here. So before we do a few more promotions, I just want to say that, Liza, this year's been really exciting and fun, right, doing this show. And
yes,
we're coming up on almost a 1-year anniversary next month.
I know. And what a journey, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even a personal journey. I remember when Mike was my husband, mm-hmm, and he bought the radio station in Madison, and I came into the studio and the microphone was there and he's like, say your name into it. It wasn't on. It was, you know, like 8 o'clock at night. And I was scared to say my name into a microphone that wasn't even on.
And look at you now.
Now you can't shut me up if you tried.
That's the truth.
Right?
I've tried a couple times.
Right?
But in all seriousness, I do think that we have had a great year and we've got so much fun, exciting stuff coming up on the horizon for 2023. Right? We are going to be starting to go out on the road.
Yes.
There are more radio stations in the state that have been purchased by the Civic Media Network. And so we want to do some on-site recording.
Mm-hmm.
And there we're going to be hopefully networking with agencies and organizations that support caregivers, but we also want to be doing some more of the celebrating of the family caregivers in that local area.
Exactly. So if you want us to come to your town, go ahead and reach out and be careful what you wish for.
Exactly.
Because we might show up on your front door. And like I mentioned, we got some free wine from Grapewater Wine in Middleton. So
yep.
All,
and we've got bells and whistles, and
yep,
we've almost got, you know, guitars that are $4,000. Yeah. We've got all kinds
of
things.
We got a traveling band. Yes,
yes, we can.
Wonderful. And if you're listening to us tonight, you know that tonight, I hope, is Wednesday night. We have moved from Thursday to Wednesdays from 7 to 8. And you may ask why. And Kristen, why are we here on Wednesdays and not Thursdays?
# caregiving happens.
Yes.
I looked at you and I said, okay, I need to do this program through Love. Love is living our visions inclusively. They are based out of Madison, but they have now spread throughout the state as well. Love was our first guest.
Mm.
So episode 2 was with Stephanie Prim, the executive, yes, director of Love, and they do this fabulous workshop called Moving On. I've heard lots of positive things about it. It's what do you call that when we're on the computer? Virtual. It's virtual for about 6 weeks, and it's on Thursday nights. And I really want to participate in it because it's going to help us talk about and learn about ways that we can support Nicole. And we're going to be including Nicole in these conversations on moving on, whether that is moving on to adulthood with roommates in our house, whether it's moving out of our house, what moving on to college. And so it's just a really once in a lifetime opportunity. So I looked at you and said, do you think there's any way we can move the radio show? And you said yes, because
I said yes, because I have an obligation with my son as well on Thursdays. Well, I guess my son isn't part of it, but he is off at Edgewood College, the cutting edge program for students with developmental disabilities. And once a month on Thursday, mm-hmm, they have the opportunity for parents to come together and network. And then the organization lets parents know, you know, what is going on. And I haven't been able to attend one of those. So I felt very out of the loop, and that's an area where some self-compassion needed to come in, because, you know, I've been so on top of this kid for, mm-hmm, 19 years, and I sent him to college and I never talked to him again. So both of us are handling caregiving responsibilities
while we're also, yes, doing our Empowered Caregiver show.
Yes.
Next week, Wednesday, January 18th, we're going to have Molly Cooney, an employee from the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities, on. She's going to be here to discuss some exciting initiatives they are working on for people with disabilities and their family caregivers. We know that caregiving can be overwhelming and exhausting, so that's why we want to end each show with a positive note.
You got this.
And together we are stronger. So stay connected to the Empowered Caregiver community. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.